Blog Talk Radio.
Usury is when he charges
high interest rates like one of these credit cards that I have, nor take it reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So what Psalms 15 says, the question is asked, who will live or who will stay in your tabernacle? And the answer is that he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his mind. He doesn't backbite or criticize his neighbor or gossip. He hates the vile person or the unpleasant or wicked person. Those are the ones that will live in his holy tabernacle. I have read to you Psalms 15, and I pray that our Heavenly Father will give you an understanding of what I have just read. What I suggest to you is that you go back over in your Bibles and read Psalms 15 in its entirety. There's only 5 verses there. There's not many. And I pray that you will, if you write words in your Bible like I do, you will not scribble it up so bad where you, excuse me, I am having to burp. You will not scribble in your Bible so badly that it's difficult, it will be difficult for you to read. What I want us to do is now turn to your Bibles, turn to our reading this morning. That will be in the book of Luke, chapter 16. We're going to be reading the parable. And a parable, of course, you remember, is a story of the unjust steward. And a steward is like a manager or a supervisor over someone else's property. Let's first say a word of prayer to our Father in heaven. Of course, you did not forget to say your prayer or to offer God to honor our Heavenly Father. Let's do that right now. I'm going to say a prayer as well. I would like for you to say your own prayer. There might be something that you, I may not say, that you will want your Father in heaven to know or to understand about you, your personal prayer. Let's look to heaven and start talking to our Father who is watching us. And let's be happy about it, because we could be in the alternative, and the alternative is death. And right now, I love living. Let's pray to our Father in heaven. Thank you, Father, for watching over us when we are not conscious of our surroundings. We thank and praise you for having our back, especially when the enemy sends an emergency manager into our city and devour the things that we have on our own. For instance, the water department, you helped us build that water department. And then this emergency manager tells he's going to leave that to the city of Detroit mayor to determine who's going to take over that. That was a money-making enterprise. The emergency manager, I'm telling off on the emergency manager, was sent here by the governor, and they have stole or taken away our ability and giving our water department away to someone who did not build it. We did that. I ask that you give back to us, our Heavenly Father, the things that who are an enemy of Detroit, give it back. We no longer have control of Belle Isle, and that's the island that you gave us in Detroit. In fact, we black people who are discovering that we are, in fact, the children of Israel. If you read in Psalms 83, you'll see what they did to us. In fact, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me the assignment to feed your sheep. And I did not know how to do it unless I read the Bible. And I am not a good reader, but I am reading and understanding and sharing with the listeners who will listen to me what I have read and understand. Give us back our land that another group of people are using. They are saying that they are us. In fact, they have stolen our identity in this United States of America, who brought us over here as slaves. Give us, and we have served them, as you told Abraham in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, that we would be brought over here in verses 13 and 14, maybe 15. We would be brought over to this land that is not ours. And we are punished. Father, forgive us as well as the sins of our forefathers, who sins you were fed up with and said that we were going to be sent to this land. We are suffering to this day. Give us back what belongs to us in Detroit, such as our water department and the island that you have given us. Give that back. Not only that, but our land that's over in Israel, the land of milk and honey, that you say in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, that is our land that's bordered by the Nile River and Euphrates. Give us that land back. This day I pray, and not only that, Father, and I hate to talk off the cuff, but sometimes I do. And Father, I thank you for where we live, where I live, in Detroit, Michigan, for keeping natural disasters and chemical disasters away from Detroit, Michigan, your blessed city. I also thank you for giving us, your sheep, sane, sound mind with excellent health and prosperity in all of our endeavors. I say this prayer in Yeshua's name, who the enemy has changed to Jesus. Amen. And I want to say more, but I will not because of the short time that you have allowed me to have on this station, Blog Talk Radio, where not many people follow. They do not know of the good message that I bring to them. Perhaps one day my program will be advertised to listen, for people to listen. And for you listeners out there, my faithful listeners, I want you to tell your family and friends about my program and your children too. They need to know something about the Bible if they are not getting it. I don't know why I hear all this noise in the background of my phone. I pay my phone bill monthly, and I do not expect to hear all this background in my phone as I speak to you, because that will throw me off. It's bad enough that I have written up my Bible where it's difficult for me to see what over the words that I have scribbled. Then to hear this background noise, that'll really throw me off. Let me tell you who I am and the name of this program that you're listening to. This is the Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, your host. Happy Sabbath Day, everyone. The only day in the Bible that tells you to keep holy and rest. Read it for yourselves, your finder. In the 10th commandment, in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, the 10 commandments and the 4th commandment tells you to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. But Constantine, the Catholic person, I forget now, back years ago when I was in school, I was taught that Constantine changed the Sabbath day to a Sunday. He worshipped a sun god. And can you imagine a Roman Catholic person worshipping a sun god? Well, nonetheless, Constantine was from Rome, and he was in battle against someone, and he saw the sign. If I can remember the story correctly, and I may not say it verbatim, but as I remember what the professor was telling us, Constantine was in battle, and he saw the sign of the cross in his vision, and he stopped persecuting or having the Christians killed if they worshiped on the Sunday instead of the Sabbath day. I am having to burp. I don't know why that happens. I have begun to think that every time I tell you something that is of importance or knowledge, my body burps it up. I read from the King James Version of the Bible, and I need a new one. I've been saying that I would get a new one for the past 2 years or more, at least. Sabbath is observed starting Friday evening, and it ends on Saturday evening. Sheep, I'd like for you to have your 3 P's handy, and those are your pen, paper, and pencil. You might want to jot down something that I have said or will say. And, of course, you always have the leisure to go back to Blog Talk Radio and look up the Feed My Sheep Show. That's where you will find my program. There are different Feed My Sheeps, and I was looking on the internet once a while back, and they had my show with Feed My Sheep, like for where you would buy animal feed for your animals, and I was highly insulted, but that has changed now. I couldn't believe my show, a program called Feed My Sheep Show, was listed with people that sell products or food for animals. That was back then. Now it has changed. So let me go forth and read. Let's start reading the parable in Luke chapter 16. And I pray that I finish reading it all, because you know how fast I read. And that's not very fast. Let's start reading about the parable of the unjust steward. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. And I pray, my Father, that this noise that I hear in my phone will stop. Verse 1. And he said unto his disciples, he is Yeshua, or they call him Jesus. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and a steward is like someone is in management over your property, or a supervisor who watch over your goods. And the same was accused. Accused means this steward was charged with, or unto him, that he had wasted his goods. He had wasted this rich man's goods. That's what this steward is being charged with. Verse 2. And he called him, the rich man called him, and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you mayest be no longer steward. And so this is what I'm thinking applies to those who are over us today, who are in power. And I'm talking about the Edomites, or the white man, the Idumean. God is going to call him and say, give an account of your stewardship. And of course, he's going to be like this unjust steward. He's going to try to scheme his way out of it. Let's read verse, let's pick up at verse 3. Then the unjust steward said within himself, what shall I do? For the Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. And this dig means that he cannot become like a common person who is working in a regular job. He says, I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. Verse 4. I am resolved what to do. So he's trying to figure out what he is to do. That when I am out, when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. But we're going to remember verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owes you unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he, the unjust steward, said unto him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he, the unjust steward, to another, how much owes you? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take your bill and write 80. 80 is 80 measures instead of the 100 measures. See, this unjust steward is trying to scheme his way out of what he has done. Let's pick up reading at verse 8. And the Lord commend here means he praised the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I have been trying to figure out who are the children of light. And I tell myself, and I have to find this out, I'm thinking the children of light are those honest people that I read about to you in Psalms 15. Those are the people who will be in the kingdom, the Lord's holy hill. And I need to look up the word Lord. In fact, that's our assignment for next Sabbath. Let's look up the word Lord. That is just like the white man or the Edomian changed the name of Jesus to Yeshua's name to Jesus. They have made changes in this Bible, like the word Lord. They should probably put Yeshua's name. Let's pick up at verse 9. And I explained that to you years back when I first started. I found out that the letters J and V were not when King James had this Bible written. As well, I tried to explain to you that the letter J, I don't know what King James' name is, and that he changed the letter J. So I'm just here rambling when I should be reading the Bible. Let's pick up at, and I don't even think I completed my sentence. I'm telling you, trying to tell you, when this Bible was written, the letter J was not invented then. And when I read and I say, oh, what is King James' name? Since the J was not invented then, let's pick up reading at verse 9. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon. The mammon means wealth or money. Of unrighteousness. What? Then when you fall or when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. And habitation is their dwelling. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. For if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? Let me read verse 11 again. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one, he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon children, sheep, are money and wealth. Verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who covert means to love money, heard all these things, and they derided means to laugh at or ridicule Jesus for telling this story. Verse 15, and he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves. You try to defend or support what you've done, justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. And again, I say, when I say heart, I always replace it with the word mind in my mind. For that which is highly esteemed among men, esteems means respected, or, you think high of them, is abominable. Abominable means disgusting or detestable in the sight of God. So those who are highly esteemed, you are detestable or disgusting before God. Verse 16. Well, I have 13 minutes left. Father, let me concentrate or just pay attention to what I'm doing and do it. And that is read Luke chapter 16. We are at verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John, and he's talking about John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle. Tittle means tiny. Or one tittle, one little bit of the law fail. It'll be easier for heaven and earth to pass, according to what John has written, than for one law, one tiny bit of the law, to fail. Verse 18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And adultery is that when you're having sexual relations outside of having relations with your spouse. So this is this Bible here in verse 18 jumps to another entirely different subject. Nonetheless, that's important to know, that if you were married to someone and you get a divorce, and if you start having sexual relations with that other person, you are out of the Ten Commandments. God says one of the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. And I don't think I will have time to read the Ten Commandments, but I need to go back there to refresh my memory of what it says about you should not commit adultery. Verse 19, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously. Sumptuously means he lived in luxury every day. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed. Desiring means he was wanting to be fed or craving to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Perhaps he was wanting the leftovers. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And we are the children of Abraham, black folk in America. We're calling ourselves African Americans. That's because we don't know who we are, but we're beginning to know. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Torment means he was in pain and suffering. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That statement there tells me that there is life after death. You will either go to heaven, be in Abraham's bosom, or you're going to be tormented. And there's flame, according to this, what this man is saying. He's tormented in this flame. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime receiveth you good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf, and a gulf is a deep or great hole. It's a gaping hole. Fix, so that they which would pass thence, they would, thence means pass from this place to you, cannot, neither can they pass to us, or come to us, or it says pass to us, that would come from thence, from your place. So Abraham is telling him, there is nothing I can do for you. Then he said, I pray you, this is the rich man that's being tormented, I pray you that you therefore, Father, let me read verse 27 again. It says, then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, he's talking to Father Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest means otherwise, they also come into this place of torment. So he's down there now worrying about or thinking about his brothers. So after death, he is down there thinking. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. He's talking about Moses' laws and the Ten Commandments and what the prophets have said, like in Leviticus chapter 11, you should not eat swine, but you eat it anyway. You need to stop doing that. Let them hear them. So while they are alive, they have the opportunity to hear Moses' laws and the prophets' laws. And you pastors going around, or you people who are telling people that they should not continue in the laws of Moses and the prophets, or what's written in the Old Testament, and your parishioners are, many of them believe what you're saying. They're not greeting. the Bible. If God had not told me to feed his sheep or come back many years later and tell me to minister unto the people, I would not know what I'm reading now, and I would be on my way to hell just as this rich man who is in pain and suffering had I not been obedient and read this Bible to feed his sheep. Verse 30, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He's saying all of that. I'm thinking he should have said to himself, he said, send me from the dead. They will change their life. Verse 31. Repent, or before I get to verse 31, repent, you should know, means to change your lifestyle. If you are having or living out of the laws of Moses or the prophets, and some of you, the United States, have passed a law that you can have same-sex marriage, you cannot have that if you are a believer in Christ. And Jesus, Yeshua, verse 31, and he said unto him, if they cannot hear Moses and the prophets, this is Father Abraham saying to the rich man that's in hell, if they cannot hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, or persuaded means convinced, or caused to believe through one rose from the dead. And Jesus has, Yeshua has risen from the dead, and he's telling the people in the Bible what it is they should do to live. And you have the adversary telling you, you can not no longer listen to the Old Testament, or to follow the laws of Moses, and they are wrong. Sheep, children of God, and we are, we just have not realized it yet. The children of Abraham, is going to come to pass that the reason why, one of the reasons why, those people who say they are us and was placed there in 1948 by the United Nations and the United States, those people, parents, grandparents that live in this region, that region, know that there were black people that were removed from their land. And you put in people that look like the enemy. They know that, and they cannot accept that. Sheep, let us have a closing word of prayer. By the way, we have finished reading Luke chapter 16. Our Father in heaven, we, your lost sheep, thank you for all things, especially your constant protection from the evil one. We thank you for leading us not into temptation, and we forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgiven our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I thank you for allowing me to have this program. In Jesus' name, I make this prayer. Remember, Steve, to take our Heavenly Father with you everywhere you go. If it's God's will, it's written in James chapter 4, verse 15. If it's God's will, I will be back with you, Father, next time. I'm just paraphrasing. Thank you.
Help your children.
Help us.
And don't let them fall by the side of the road. love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. Down. And I know he lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts.